Vichaitanya manubhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tadati svapadantikam Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prastaya bhutale Srimate bhakti vedanta swamini namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Samyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Tudubhyastha Kripa Sindhubhyevata Jitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For quite some time, Purusha Shukta Prabhu, who organizes the japa retreats and workshops for Bhagavat life, has wanted me to speak about gratitude. And I resisted the topic because gratitude implies a separation of interests. For example, we had a life member in Bombay, Sushil Asnani, who was a lawyer, and he used to do legal work for the devotees, for Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes I would thank him, and he would say, "Don't thank me. You know, I'm one of you. By thanking me, you're considering me to be someone separate from you." And later, I read a statement by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to the effect that when one receives favors from someone, one would rightfully feel gratitude. But he was saying that the mood of bhakti is that we want to render service, not receive favors. And that in the mood of taking, we get something from God and we express our gratitude towards him. But in the mood of service, we want to serve him as our constitutional position. It's like we don't thank the hand for serving the body because the hand is part of the body. And the body doesn't, the hand doesn't thank the body because they're one unit together. But I had an experience within the last few weeks that made me appreciate the value of gratitude. And in fact, because we are so conditioned to thinking of ourselves independent of Krishna, that we don't often feel gratitude. You know, sometimes we feel, instead of feeling grateful for the opportunity to serve, we feel burdened by the obligation to serve. And from that position, to feel grateful for the opportunity to serve is an improvement. And for many of us, it's a good improvement. My own experience, and this is a common fact, that we often appreciate something when we lose it. When we have it, we take it for granted, and when we lose it, we appreciate it more. About 3 weeks ago, I developed gout, which is a type of arthritis, in my right wrist. And the doctor ordered me not to use my right wrist and to keep it in a splint so that it could heal. I could not put my right hand in my bead bag and chant japa. And it's like Prabhupada said, we're dependent on Krishna for everything. You know, even the atheists who blaspheme Krishna, they're dependent on Krishna for the power to speak and blaspheme the Lord. At any moment, he could take away their power to speak or think or write nonsense books. So, having that experience, I really did not take it for granted that I could always use my right hand to chant my rounds. And I realized that it was the Lord's mercy that I could hold the beads in my hand. That time may come when I might not be able to. You know, it's the Lord's mercy that I can pronounce the holy name, you know, articulate the holy name. It may not always be like that. So we are so dependent on the Lord, and yes, in an advanced state, we have no separate interest. I mean, that really is surrender. That's part of surrender, that one has no separate interest from the Lord. But in our situation, being prone to think of ourselves as the center instead of the Lord being the center, and being prone to make plans based on our own interest rather than on the Lord's interest, it's good for us to appreciate how dependent we are on Him. We drink water every day. We couldn't live without water. Where is the water coming from? It's coming from the Lord. We breathe air. And sometimes having to roll up the windows in traffic, or when it's too hot or too cold, to be able to breathe fresh air is really a boon. Where's that fresh air coming from? Where's that oxygen coming from? Our god brother Bharadraj Prabhu was invited to perform kirtan at a bar in Los Angeles. The organizer of the programs at the bar had association with devotees. So he invited Bharadraj, and Bharadraj did kirtan. The name of the bar was the O2 bar. Do you know what O2 is?
Oxygen.
The oxygen molecule. It's made of two oxygen atoms. And they distributed, I don't remember the details, whether it was like you got a little bottle of oxygen. And especially in Los Angeles, it's like, well, it'd be quite intoxicating to be able to breathe pure oxygen. So we're so dependent on the Lord for the most basic necessities of life and food, shelter, everything. So feeling grateful to the Lord is like it's a type of appreciation. And of course, when we think of the holy name and we actually develop our relationship with the holy name, we feel so much appreciation to the Lord as the holy name. When I first joined, our God brother Gurudas Prabhu told me of a prayer that he had read somewhere. You know, my dear Lord, you're so merciful that as the holy name, you are my constant companion. So the holy name is always with us, always there for us, always ready to forgive us, always ready to welcome us back when we stray away. So many great devotees and acharyas have expressed their appreciation for the holy name. And throughout the workshop, we are hearing appreciation of the holy name, of the mercy we can get from the holy name, who is Krishna himself. But that point of not taking for granted what we have, like Prabhupada said, anyone can chant Hare Krishna, all you need is a tongue and 2 ears. But really, that the faculty to speak, the faculty to hear, can't take it for granted. So it comes back to that same point that, you know, we don't know which will be the last mantra. Like Prema Manjari Mataji was saying, that her mind is more peaceful if it thinks this is going to be the last one. And we don't know. Any mantra we chant could be the last one. I mean, we hope it won't be, and we expect that it won't be. But it could be. And one mantra, one day, will be the last one in this body. So we really want to value this hand, the tongue, the ears, that can be used in such a precious way to chant the holy name, and not take it for granted and not misuse it. You know, it's like if you have some income, like a good income, you're not maybe so careful about how you use it. But then if there's a recession, the oil prices go up, or, you know, and money's not coming so easily, then you think, oh, I better be careful how I use this. So the time we have in our life, the duration of our life, is the most precious item we have. Srila Prabhupada quoted a Chanakya shloka that at the time of death, you know, even for millions of dollars, you know, even for all the gold in the world, you cannot increase the duration of your life by one moment. That means that each moment is invaluable. You can't measure how much each moment is worth, because at the time of death, you could be ready to spend any amount, but you still can't buy even one more moment. So we should use every moment that we have and every faculty that we have by the grace of the Lord in the most useful way, the most beneficial way. And that is to revive our relationship with Him. And we should be grateful. Yes, we're grateful for the holy name, for Srimad Bhagavatam, for the association of devotees, for deities, for everything that Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have given us, everything that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. And we should really take advantage, you know, be very careful and take advantage, not be intoxicated by material life. It's like a drunken person, he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, he's not in his proper senses. And the illusory energy has that inebriating effect, and we become like intoxicated. And we don't appreciate what is eternal, you know, and we run after what is temporary. Once, you know, when I was chanting at that same beach, my mind was a little distracted, and so I prayed to the holy name. And when our mind is distracted, it's distracted because of attachment to whatever it's thinking about. It could be family, it could be money, it could be prestige, it could be position, it could be food, it could be health, you know. So I prayed to the holy name, and I imagine the holy name was saying that, what do you want? Do you want me or the other thing? And the other thing was something I liked. But I thought for a minute, and I considered that the other thing, which I did like, was only going to be with me at most as long as I was in this body. And the holy name could be with me, or will be with me, as long as I stick to the lotus feet of the holy name, forever. So when I thought in those terms, I thought, well, I'll take you, because you're forever. The other thing is at most for this lifetime, and maybe not even. So we think in those terms, you know, what's the comparison? What's the comparison? But we do have the idea. It may not be conscious, but we do have the idea, which we know is wrong, that, oh, I'll be Krishna conscious later. I'll get serious about my japa later. Like Prahlad and his demonic schoolmates. But it's very common in India, we would I'll do this later. Yeah. And of course, as Prabhupada said, you know, Maharaj Parikshit, he had 7 days to live. So he inquired, what is the duty of a person who's about to die? And the answer was that he should hear and chant and remember the glories of the Lord. And that will make him fearless. And Srila Prabhupada remarked that Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days. We don't know if we have 7 minutes. So this is how we should use our time, the most precious commodity that we have. But we do tend to have that attitude, I'll do it later. Now's the time to enjoy. When I'm older, then I'll get serious. And Prahlad told his demonic schoolmates that if you take your duration of life and say you live 80 years, so we even say 100 years, say you live 100 years. So every day you have to figure 12 hours goes in sleeping, bathing, dressing, eating, is keeping the body and soul together. So 50 years is already gone, just maintaining the body. And when you're young, you waste your time playing, and another 10 years is gone. Then you get married, and you're busy maintaining your wife and children and family, or serving your husband and children. Another 20 years is gone. And by then you're so old and weak and feeble, it's hard to practice devotional service. So if you have the mentality that you'll do it later, that later will never come. Your whole life will slip away. Once Srila Prabhupada was in his room in Brooklyn, he was hearing the sounds coming from the street, Henry Street. He sort of leaned back and he said, children are playing, young boys are chasing girls, old men are wrapped in thought, no one is thinking of Krishna. So we don't want to be like that. It's the tendency. Everyone around us is pretty much like that. But we don't want to be like that. And that's why our association is so important. Associating specifically to focus on the holy name. You know, not just to meet in a social way, but to really focus on the goal of life and the means to attain it. And of course, the devotees in this area are especially fortunate to have a devotee like Vaisheshika Prabhu, and Mogalila Prabhu also has become very inspired. Satyadeva Prabhu, all the wonderful devotees. Puranath Prabhu and ladies. And we should really use it, you know, for the best purpose and be grateful for the fact that we have that opportunity. Another item that I've been asked to discuss a little is Tulsi Devi. Now, Tulsi Devi, of course, is a pure devotee. Vrinda Devi, in this form, is called Tulsi Devi. And, you know, Vrinda Devi is a very special devotee. In fact, the Vrindavan forest is named after Vrinda Devi, like a forest of Tulsi. That's the actual meaning of Vrindavan. Vrindavan. And again, in my situation, I tend to take her for granted, but this morning when I wanted to chant in front of Tulsi Devi, there was no Tulsi Devi. But I was just staying at someone's house. It's not a reflection on anyone, but it's a great mercy to be able to have the association of Tulsi Devi, such a pure devotee. And Tulsi Devi is so important that I happened to be in Srila Prabhupada's room when he got a letter from Govinda Dasi from Hawaii, and she was the one who first began to grow Tulsi in the West. And Prabhupada commented that this is the perfection of her sadhana, that she has brought Tulsi Devi to the West and made her grow and flourish. And once I was sitting with Srila Prabhupada in his garden in New Dwarka. Many of you have probably seen his garden. And I was looking at him, as one would do in his presence. And, you know, suddenly his eyes lit up and he broke into a gigantic smile. And I was wondering, wow, it was like, you know, he was seeing, you know, his dearest friend. And then I looked to see who had come, and it was a devotee carrying Tulsi Devi. That was for Tulsi Devi. And then he remarked that the whole atmosphere has become sanctified just by Tulsi Devi's presence. So chanting before Tulsi Devi is highly recommended. Srila Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, the Acharya for the chanting of the holy name, he would chant in front of Tulsi Devi. And I thought I would just read two verses and purports from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, yes. And then we'll chant together around Tulsi Devi. These are from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, Chapter 3, The Glories of Haridas Thakur. Now, I hope you know the story of Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. In short, an envious landlord was jealous of Haridas Thakur's personality, so he sent a prostitute to seduce him so that he could catch him engaged with the prostitute and then ruin him, expose him as a pretender. And Haridas Thakur, being a highly elevated Mahabhagavata, knew what was happening. And as he disclosed later, he could have left the place immediately. But he thought it was his duty to deliver her. So he tricked her. He said that, yes, I will enjoy with you, but I have to finish my rounds first. And thus he gave her the chance to hear him chant the holy name. And one day passed and she fell asleep. She woke up in the morning. Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't finish my rounds today, but come this evening and after I finish my rounds, we'll enjoy together. So she came again, heard the holy name from his lotus mouth, and again, didn't finish his rounds in time. And by the third day, her heart was so influenced by the spiritual purity and desire of Namacharya Haridas Thakur that she changed. She surrendered to him. She admitted her sinful purpose. She surrendered to him and accepted him as her spiritual master. And under his direction, well, he actually gave her his little hut by the river and the tulsi plant, and she became a great devotee. But part of her success, part of her transformation is that, you know, as a Hindu girl, she offered respects to Tulsi Devi when she came to Haridas Thakur's hut. She circumambulated Tulsi. And that combination of Tulsi and the holy name is very powerful. So here's what Chaitanya Charitamrita says. First, so after she surrendered, this is what Haridas Thakur says. Thakur kahe gahe radravya brahmane kara dana he gare ase tumi karaha vishrama nirantara nama lao krishna tulsi sevana achirat pabe tabe krishnera charana. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra continuously and render service to the tulsi plant by watering her and offering prayers to her. In this way, you will very soon get the opportunity to be sheltered at the lotus feet of Krishna. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we are teaching our followers to chant the Hare Krishna mantra continuously on beads. Even those who are not accustomed to this practice are advised to chant at least 16 rounds on their beads. Like once His Holiness Lokanath Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, why have you prescribed 16 rounds? And Prabhupada said, not 16 rounds, minimum 16 rounds. If you can chant 16,000, that's welcome. So, we are teaching our followers to chant the Hare Krishna mantra continuously on beads. Even those who are not accustomed to this practice are advised to chant at least 16 rounds on their beads so that they may be trained. Otherwise, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended Chinadapi Sunichena Tororapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Sada means always. Haridas Thakur says, Nirantara Nama Lao. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra without stopping. That was his instruction to the prostitute. Then he says, rascals and fools, the lowest of men who engage in sinful activities, cannot suddenly surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Nevertheless, if they begin chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and rendering service unto the tulsi plant, they will very soon be able to surrender. This is the way to achieve success in Krishna consciousness. And then about Haridas Thakur himself, text 100, Nirjane vane kutira kari tulasi sevana rachridine tina laksha nama sankirtana. Haridas Thakur constructed a cottage in a solitary forest. There he planted a tulsi plant, and in front of the tulsi he would chant the holy name of the Lord 300,000 times daily. He chanted throughout the entire day and night. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Haridas Thakur, being the acharya of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is called Namacharya Haridas Thakur. From his personal example, we can understand that chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and becoming highly elevated in Krishna consciousness is very simple. Simple for the simple. Well, I must not be simple. Prabhupada said I was, but I don't know. Maybe that was then. Without difficulty, One can sit down anywhere, especially on the bank of the Ganges, Yamuna, or any other sacred body of water, such as San Francisco Bay. Devise a sitting place for a cottage, plant a tulsi tree, and before the tulsi, chant the Hare Krishna mantra undisturbed. Haridas Thakur used to chant the holy name on his beads 300,000 times daily. One should not, however, imitate Haridas Thakur, for no one else can chant the holy name 300,000 times a day. We can follow his example, however, by chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on beads every day and offering respect to the tulsi plant. This is not at all difficult for anyone, and the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with a vow before the tulsi plant has such great spiritual potency that we request the members of the Hare Krishna movement to follow Haridas Thakur's example rigidly. Chanting 16 rounds does not take much time, nor is offering respects to the tulsi plant difficult. The process has immense spiritual potency. One should not miss this opportunity. So, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.